What's up? It is Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd, my co-host, Canucks Insider. I'm bringing it back. Canucks Insider also covers the team for The Athletic.
You're bringing Thomas it back. You're Rantz. Bringing the noise.
I'm bringing the noise.
Bring the noise.
Bring the noise. Bring the funk. Wasn't that a thing? That was like a Broadway musical or something?
Bring the noise. Bring the funk
in the 90s? I'm pretty sure it was.
Sorry. You know what? As much as I'd like to pretend that my musical knowledge is you know, kept on an index card, I don't actually know. Yeah, bring the noise.
Yeah, an off-Broadway, bring in the noise, bring in the funk, an off-Broadway 1995 musical.
Jeez. It was unfortunately for the people that put that off-Broadway classic on, eclipsed in cultural importance by Rent.
Yes, and Stomp.
Stomp. My God.
Well, I think bringing the noise, bringing the funk was the same thing, where it's just like a lot of people smashing things, stomping things, making noises. You know what I mean?
Stomp. I can't believe that was a thing.
Yeah. The wild. 90s. The 90s were a wild time. you should just go up and bang on things and like, hey, this is a musical. Here we go. We're doing it.
You could be just about to go on air and your producer could tell you to just bring the noise.
Bring the noise today, guys. First day of the season. Bring the noise.
Make sure it's rights free, but bring the noise.
All right. Anyways, we are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet. What are you waiting for? Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, and we're in a good mood. I mean, one, it's Wednesday. I'm always in a good mood on Wednesdays because we got the crossover coming up. We got Bukala later. But, of course, also, it is the first day of the regular season for the Vancouver Canucks. The first game of the regular season, they'll take on the Calgary Flames tonight at Rogers Arena. I should also note, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's game later on in the show.
Wow.
So stay tuned for that. We'll do a little trivia question later on in the show to give away those tickets. So lots going on today, Drance. This is the most excited I think the city has been for a new Canucks season since when? Like the 2011-2012 season?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think that's probably as far back as you'd have to go to find expectations and excitement this high.
To find a more hotly anticipated Vancouver Canucks season. Yeah, I think you're right. And yet, you know, I think there's excitement, but in some ways, it doesn't feel like the vibe's overwhelming yet. It almost feels like we're back to that moment where while people are excited to see how the Canucks do this season, it's not going to amp up until the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and this is one of those things. When you're a team, like a Striver class team, you get to opening day. It's like, will they make the playoffs? This is so exciting. Maybe this year will be different.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a team like the Canucks, a team with real ambition, it's like, okay, let's get through the regular season. You're just hoping for maintenance, consolidation, and the excitement will come in April and May. So it is sort of like a tweak in expectations and energy, as excited as everyone is to watch this team hit the ice tonight.
There is a lot of pleasure to be had, though, as a fan, to just watching
a good team play.
Yes.
Yes.
And watching like a professional team go about their business and be consistently better than the opposition, right? And as much as obviously
they'll be better than the opposition tonight.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I think part of the interest in the regular season is, can the Canucks meet that bar, right, where they have that kind of air of professionalism and, yeah, we know we're one of the best teams in the league or one of the top, you know, seven or eight or whatever, whatever you want to say teams in the league, and we're going to go about our business. I mean,
But you know, like, the thing is that I get what you're saying, but that pleasure, where the pleasure is really derived, I find, in my experience, remembering what it was like to be a fan, is when you have those high expectations and then the team actually hits that upside case. You know what I mean? Like, this team hit their upside case and then some last year, and I think that's why it was so engaging. But you think about, like, that 2010-11 season, right? And you sort of start out, and you know the team's really good, and they're 500 for 20 games, and then they, like, don't lose for 2 months. And it's like, when a team hits that preposterous upside ceiling, I feel like that's where the fun really is, and we'll see if the Canucks can do it again this year.
But as we always do, bring everything back to the 2010-2011 season, as much as obviously our memories of that team are going to be almost exclusively focused on the end result and the disappointment and all of that.
No, but that team was fun as heck.
That's the thing. I still, like, as much as people want to write off the regular season, like, ah, who cares about the President's Trophy? Like, that team was a blast to follow for the regular season because you could have so much confidence in them. And as much as they're, like, it's a dichotomy, right? Because, and I think it was Shorty on the radio today on Halford and Brough saying before that season, AV had told him, like, I'm a little concerned because the team says, oh, there's nothing, you know, we can't prove anything until we get to the playoffs. The regular season doesn't really mean anything. And then, of course, they went out and won the President's Trophy. And as much as you do want to have the mindset of, okay, the only thing that matters is the Stanley Cup going to compete in the playoffs, I don't know, you're going to watch this team 82 times. Like, you want it to be fun. You want it. And that 2010-2011 team was super fun to watch and follow through the regular season.
Well, and you know, I think it matters. Like, I think winning 50 games matters. I think winning the division matters. I actually think we should celebrate more accomplishments in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and look, maybe this is just anecdotal. Just my sense of it. I mean, I'm excited for hockey to be back generally. But it just feels like, you know, the expectations are high for this team. This season is hotly anticipated, and yet I don't feel like that overwhelming, like, we're back vibe yet. And I think that's actually a reflection of the fact that people expect a lot from this group,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to representing anything else. That's just my sense of it. Anecdotal. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think the excitement level for the playoffs is always going to be obviously much higher. Yeah, much, much higher than the excitement for the regular season. And I would say there's still maybe some cautious optimism even for this Canucks team, right? Because unlike those, you know, Sedina Luongo era teams, they don't have a track record of being really good in the regular season, being consistently good, right? So I think there's some trepidation of will that continue?
I feel like there's not a lot of fatalism about this season in the lead up to it.
Yeah.
Usually there's more, man.
Fatalism is probably too strong, but between the Demko injury, the relatively short track record, when I have said on the air over the past, you know, 6 weeks or so, like, hey, I'm expecting this team to be in the playoffs, and, you know, I'm not too concerned with what happens before that. I've gotten pushback of teams saying, like, hey, they still have to make it. Of people saying they still have to make it. They're not a lock. Maybe that's just a small portion of the fan base, but I do think that sentiment exists out there. Now, Marcus and Gibson's text in, the fan base might be looking forward to April and May, but I think Tocchet has this team worried about getting to April and May as a playoff team. That's from Marcus in Gibson's. And I think, yeah, that will absolutely be part of the challenge for the team this year, right? Is raising the bar in the regular season, right? Coming off of that, of your performance last year, but finding a way still to have that dedication, that engagement kind of night in, night out in the regular season that, as you said, could put them in a position to, you know, win the division or something like that again.
Yeah. And, you know, I think raising the bar probably means something different, right? I mean, over at The Athletic today, I've published my predictions, and unsurprisingly, one of them is that I think the Canucks are going to, whether they're a better team or not, and I think they'll have a chance to be a better team than they were last year toward the end of the season, I really would be quite surprised if the club was able to actually outperform what they did last year. Like, that is sort of one of my big predictions, is I think this team will have fewer points, and I don't necessarily think that's going to reflect whether or not they're a more imposing side, right? I've been using this term a lot, and I'm going to keep using it. The idea of running pure, the idea of, you know, having all of Garland, Hronek, Hughes, JT Miller, Pettersson play 81 or 82 games with the game they missed being, you know, elective toward the end of the season. The high shooting percentage, the phenomenal goaltending, the way that things just sort of lined up for this team, you can't count on that happening every year, right? And I suspect it won't happen for this team necessarily this year, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to win a lot of games. It doesn't mean that they're not even going to be better than last year's team. I just strongly suspect the results will look a little bit different, maybe be a little bit more in the fat part of the bell curve, as opposed to this team hitting like its apex absolute upside case, which they clearly did last season.
All right, it is Wednesday. That means it is time for the crossover with our pals Don Taylor and Rick Dollywell, of course, from Donnie and Dolly, which you can check out Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Check TV. Don, Rick, it's here, the beginning of the regular season for the Canucks. How are you guys doing today?
No music. What's happening?
Yeah, what
happened?
On? The Brady Bunch.
We're hearing it.
I don't know if I can hear it.
Can you guys hear us?
Oh, we didn't hear it.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Probably our fault.
This is good.
Jamie will sing it to you.
Technical difficulties.
Absolutely not.
We're okay. Hey, don't worry about it.
You guys, Brady Bunch was a great show.
Did you guys cut the heating budget again in your studio? You're all bundled up once again. You guys look like you're freezing there.
It's minus 40 in here.
It's a long story.
Tater won't let us turn the heat on.
That's not true.
It's minus 40. We have like five people in here all freezing, and Tater won't let us turn the heat up. It's ridiculous.
First of all, you guys can do whatever you want with the temperature, but I do prefer a colder studio. We've got lights here. It's hot. Tends to be a little bit hot. Letterman, and I'm not comparing myself to him, but Letterman back in the day was infamous for having an extremely cold studio. So there's precedent here, guys. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's why they named a jacket after him, Donnie.
That's just...
Hey guys.
That's a stretch.
Yes. Anyway, I'm glad that you guys are, you know, focused on warming like your body. Ignore the arms. They'll heat themselves. And hopefully over the course of this segment, you know, our takes will be a little warmer than your studio.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Your takes are on fire, Thomas.
Always hot takes here. All right, so looking towards the game tonight against the Calgary Flames, I mean, let's start. We haven't had a chance to chat since they made their final roster and final cuts. Atu Ratu makes the team. They make the difficult decision, as they said, to send Arshdeep Bains now. Now, it looks like Ratu might even get a chance to play tonight with Pew Suter questionable, but how impressed are you guys that Ratu was able to, you know, keep that momentum straight from Young Stars through training camp and ultimately make the team?
Well, I always have the most respect for anybody who gets to the pro level and continues to improve and changes their game somewhat. And I love the aspect or the fact that Ratu, and he worked on this last year in Abbotsford, and you know this, Thomas, where he does that stick flip on the right face-off dot. And you look at the Canuck centers, they're full of lefties. He's a lefty himself. They need somebody like that. And he was really effective with it. I just have so much respect for him. And plus, and something else you guys know, it's very clear that he worked on his skating. He's improved his skating a whole lot. And, you know, I think that maybe there's a tendency, maybe not this day and age because there's so much money involved, but there has been in the past where you make the NHL and it's like, I'm there. I've arrived. And certainly that's not the case with him. And I think they really admire him. I mean, first of all, he's not going to hurt them. They think he's going to help them. But I just love players like that, that get to the highest level and say, or near the highest level and say, there's a whole lot of improving to do. It's obvious. So hats off to him.
As an organization, every training camp, you want 3, 4, 5 kids from the farm team to push and make hard decisions. And I think between Ratu and Arshdeep Bains, I think they did that this year. I mean, the blue line, as you guys can tell, is pretty solid because look at the 7th-8 defensemen, Juleson and Friedman. So no defenseman really, young defenseman really made a push. Mm-hmm. But the forward group, there was certainly some guys that made them think and made them make some hard decisions. That's all you want as an organization. Now, Ratu, by the way, had a really good skating coach in Finland. He comes from a family that is really, his brother is, was he in the Utah?
You okay, by the way?
I shouldn't have ate. I ate 3 oranges before I came home.
No, 3 oranges?
Hold on a sec. No, they're the small ones, the mandarin oranges. Okay. This is mandarin orange time.
Is it?
A couple months.
October?
Donnie, yeah. What are you talking? No, where I go to Savon, they got some good little mandarin oranges. Are you kidding me? Anyways, it's mandarin orange time, Donnie. Like, this is it. I had 3 of them. I shouldn't have had them. And now I'm, I got a frog in the throat. Hold on a sec.
Or a mandarin orange in the throat.
Did you eat the peel, too? What's going on here?
No, I didn't eat the peel.
He ate it whole.
No,
one
but
gulp.
I had 2 small bananas as well. I shouldn't have done it. Now I'm paying the price. Okay, where was I? Ratu, listen to me.
Somewhere there's a Save-On with no produce left.
What's the weekly fruit budget for you, Rick? 2 bananas and 3 oranges?
Oh, I'm a huge fruit guy. Huge fruit guy. No, I mean, I love fruits. I love fruits and vegetables. Hey, Big time fruits and vegetables guy.
Atu Ratu.
Where were we? Listen, he had a good skating coach.
Rick Dollywell, good skating coach in Finland.
Okay, anyways, listen. Are you guys going to let me go here? His brother, he comes from a really dedicated family. And his brother's, was he in the Utah lineup, Thomas, last night?
No, he wasn't in the Ratu Utah brother? Lineup. Aku Ratu.
But he's.
He was a save on.
Yeah, he's close to making that team, right?
I'd have to check. Unfortunately, I didn't follow the back end of the Utah roster battles as closely as I should have. Give me a moment, and I'll let you know.
Okay. Let me just finish and finish what Don said.
Why don't you finish what you said?
This kid had a great summer. His agent told me he worked really hard. His mission was to make the team, and tonight, lo and behold, Suter is a little bit banged up from that preseason game in Edmonton. Looks like Rick Tocchet has said he's not going to go, so Ratu's going to go in. And don't forget this, guys. Ratu making the Canucks and becoming an impact player will help with that Bo Horvat trade big time. And, you know, everyone thought he was an afterthought in that Bo Horvat trade. Everyone liked the first-round pick. But this kid making it is going to make that trade look a whole lot better.
Does it look bad? I feel like we haven't really been very critical of the Horvat trade, right?
No, but I'm just saying it's going to help it along, Thomas. How about if he didn't make it? How about if he didn't become a player for the Canucks? And it looks like he's made the necessary changes to become an everyday NHL player, or at least get there.
Yeah, nope, he's been impressive, no question about it. What do you expect the club to do with Baines and company, Friedman as well? A couple guys that were reassigned, and yet the way Tocchet talks about it, it does sound like they could be back pretty quickly here, Rick.
Boy, did that when Elvin said they sat him down, Baines, him and Tocchet. It sure sounded like that was a tough meeting for them. Baines, the last three preseason games, Baines was on. Mm-hmm. He was going to the right areas of the ice. He was forechecking. Look at the power play goals. Boy, oh boy, he did a lot of good things in those last three games. That looks like that was a really tough cut for them. But just because you're not there on opening night, look, guys, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be it looks like to me Baines has put himself in a position to be the first call-up from Abbotsford. I mean, there's going to be other guys pushing as well. I mean, don't you want to see Lekaramäki up here? I do. I'd like to. Well, he's got to pay his dues down there. But at some point, you want to see how he does. But give Baines credit. Give Ratu credit. They had good summers. I know Baines was out one of the first kids skating with all the NHL guys at rinks in early August. So you know what, these guys they put in a lot of work, and both these guys, it's looking good for them. Progress was made.
So we don't usually, like, every guest we have on the show, I usually like throw a game at them and challenge them to do it. We don't typically do it with these guys, but do you want to try it?
Sure. Tom just told me I was breathing into the mic. And I was like, what? I haven't taken a breath in like 30 seconds. No, I'm not. What are you talking about?
He's anticipating.
No, somebody was breathing very heavily.
It wasn't me.
It was. It might have been Rick's Mandarin Oranges.
No, well, I think Rick was talking and breathing heavily at the same time.
No, I don't breathe heavily.
So, gentlemen, I fast forward a month, okay? I'm going to throw this at Donnie specifically. Let's fast forward a month. I'm going to give you three possible scenarios. I want you to tell me which you think
is making us work here.
Which you think is the most likely? Okay, ready?
Okay.
Okay, we get to. It's November 15th. The Canucks are off to one of the best, hottest starts in the league. Is it because Artur Shelovs and Kevin Lankinen have significantly outperformed expectations? Is it because Elias Pettersson, Mr. 11.6, is one of the NHL's leading scorers? Or is it because this team looks a lot like last year? They're playing lockdown defense, and occasionally Quinn Hughes or JT Miller takes over a game in crunch time to sort of drive their success. Which do you expect to be the most likely? Which are you the most confident won't occur?
I don't know, but somebody's very excited about those three possibilities.
Is it me?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Maybe it's, is it your producer, maybe, Dominic?
It's elementary.
Someone's really
I will.
My mic's not on.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
I will go with Pettersson. And because I'm sick and tired of being criticized for criticizing Elias Pettersson. So let me just say that if they have success mid-November, it has to be Mr. 11-6 there, living up to his contract. So let's go with that. They haven't had that for a while.
Well,
Guys, Lankinen and Seelovs, that's the one for me because we don't know when Demko's going to be back, right? Mm. That's the great unknown. And, you know, the Canucks started out 10-2-1 last year. It just played a huge role. That first 10-game segment is so important. And the Canucks just came flying out of the gates last year. And they got to do it again this year. They got the trip to Florida next week. You know what? We don't know when Demko's going to be back. You know, all these media, national media, picking the Oilers to win the Cup, and there's, and you know,
why do you get so upset about that?
I'm not upset about it, but I do understand why they're doing it. There's a lot of belief out there and concern about Demko in Vancouver. When's he back? And if he comes back, Don, is he going to get hurt right again? Because look, guys, the game in Nashville, he came off an injury, got hurt right away again. So there's a great unknown with Demko this year. Look, every team wants their number one goaltender. Look at what happened for Boston last night. They had their number two guy in. He got lit up in Florida. I think if Lankinen and I think if Seelovs can hold the fort, because it looks like this Demko thing might go in November, if they can hold the fort, that would be really, really good. And give the Canucks credit for outwaiting Lankinen and his agent because they never gave up. Even when, it looked like they were they just weren't going to get Lankinen.
Sorry, Rick.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, too, but for a lot of people who followed the Canucks for so long or just followed the National Hockey League for a long time, the Canucks lost one of the best goalies in the league, or at least they've lost them. They've lost him,
goalie.
It looks like, for a significant amount of time. And because of the way they've developed Seelovs, the way they went out and got Lankinen and Patera, who gives them some depth, but just focusing on Seelovs, and he wasn't the reason they lost to Edmonton. He looked just fine. That development is pretty impressive. I mean, if this happens to most other organizations in the National Hockey League, and look, all of us have taken shots at the Vancouver Canucks, but the last couple of years have been really, really impressive in terms of what they've done from a management and coaching point of view. We'd be talking about them being in the lottery a few years ago, losing somebody like Demko. It's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, it has.
Well, and to answer Drance's question,
that's why I say Lankinen.
Answer Drance's question as well, I agree with Donnie that if the Canucks get off to a hot start over the first 6 weeks, I think it's going to be Pettersson. Because you think about what could change the most from the last version of this team we saw losing in the playoffs to Edmonton, it's Elias Pettersson being Elias Pettersson, right? Living up to an $11.6 million contract. I feel pretty good about him doing it, but if he doesn't, I think that completely changes the conversation around this team. And I'll say the other thing, you listened to Rick Tocchet yesterday especially, but recently, it sounds like he is expecting a lot from the trio of Pettersson, DeBrusk, and Sprong, and that he's going to put them in a lot of pretty nice situations, going to look for those favorable matchups. So I think it's all there. Line mates, opportunity, role from the coach for Pettersson to have a really productive hot start.
Yeah, and let's also not forget incentive. You always have incentive. You know, you want to excel. He's a driven athlete, but you got to think that what happened last year pissed off Elias Pettersson, and I mean that in a positive way. That all these pro athletes are driven, but you can go to the next level in terms of incentive. Given what happened at the end of last year, the criticism he took, he's probably hard on himself. Might end up being a pretty good thing.
Yeah, he's got to be a difference maker, guys. I heard Yannick Hansen on with you guys, and he said he better be like one of the top 2-3 centers in the National Hockey League. He's got to be a difference maker, because if he's not a difference maker, the Canucks' center ice position's in trouble, because Lindholm's not here anymore. So, and the center ice position is not as strong as it was last year.
So every time we've done an opening day show with you gentlemen in the past, and I think this is our second or our third.
Yeah, so every time, once, last year.
Last year when we did it.
An annual tradition. Every time we've done this.
In our long history of crossovers, this is the second time we've done this. Last time we did it, we all made a prediction. Would the Canucks make or miss the playoffs? By the way, all of us got it wrong except Jamie.
Did I say they would make the playoffs?
You did.
Oh, good for me. Future. The only thing I remember it last time was Rick refusing to say one way or the other. That's what I remember.
No, we eventually pinned him down.
All right. Nice.
Oh, yeah. But well, yeah, you're right. He
sitting on the fence.
Yeah, he was definitely sitting on the fence eating 8 mandarins and 4 bananas, as Rick is wont to do. So this year, I don't think the playoffs is very interesting. Quick yes, it's
no.
all across. Let's go. We'll take their Vegas over-under, and I want everyone to pick an over-under. It's 99.5 points. Will the Canucks get more or less, over or under 99.5 points? Where are you laying your fictional money, Donnie? Not that your money is actually
I'll
fictional, just in this example.
Oh, well, it is. Trust me. Ask my banker. It is fictional. I'll go over 109 points last year. The Pacific Division is top heavy, and you know a lot of their opponents aren't exactly murderer's row when it comes to the teams they're playing the most. So I'll go over. Again, it can all change with health, and I get all that. But going in and the way they've managed to tap dance through things like Demko's health issues, I'll go over. There's talent there. What a difference a year makes.
Yeah, over for me too. And health is going to be really big. And you could still talk to anyone in Vancouver that says if Demko and Besser were in the Vancouver lineup in Game 7 against Edmonton, it could have been a different outcome. Health is going to be paramount. Do they have the depth to fill in those holes when the injury bug hits? And it will hit. But they were also one of the healthiest teams in the National Hockey League last year, which, you know, was a big, big thing. You remember the All-Star break, and they went down a little bit after the All-Star break. Everybody got a little tired, yada, yada, yada. But over for me. This is a really good hockey club. I love the forward group. We don't know the unknown with the goaltending, and that could be a big factor big time. We just don't know what's going to happen there.
I think last year I picked them to make the playoffs just so it wasn't a clean sweep of us all picking against them to make the playoffs. But I'm not going to do it again this year.
Definitely.
I'm going to stick it over as well. Just like it may not be – they might not – you know, vault over it by leaps and bounds, but like 101 points, something like that seems very reasonable to me. So it's a fairly easy one for me. I'll take the over here on 99.5.
Perfect. So I'll fill the
under. I thought you were going to.
But I honestly do think, I think my expectation for this team is that when we get to April, they might be a more imposing group, right? Like, you know, Rick's like, if they'd had Demko and Besser in Game 7 against Edmonton, maybe it's different. It's like, okay, well, does Edmonton get to have Evander Kane healthy too and Leon Draisaitl without a welt the size of a volleyball? Like, the coulda, woulda, shoulda doesn't interest me at all. I think this team got to the playoffs and showed that they have real guts without question, but they also couldn't generate shots. They needed, you know, a whole host of series wins to eliminate the Predators, who outplayed them in more games than the Canucks won in that series. And then, obviously, Edmonton, I thought, overpowered them in that sixth and seventh game. I think the Canucks will be a tougher opponent come playoff time than they were last season, but I expect them to hit the under in terms of points.
We should have done the over-under on pieces of fruit in a week for Rick.
I
don't know how high to set that number.
The over. Can I buy an alternate over? Guy's eating 2 pieces of bananas and 3 mandarins, like between his show and ours, which is a 10-minute window.
Hey, and you're lucky. Hey, you guys are lucky. And ask Donnie, I had the apple out because I was just going to start chomping on the apple. But I don't like eating an apple next to Don because it's loud. Apples are loud. It's
crunchy. Sure. Yeah, you often do. Sometimes during the show.
No, I walk away. But anyways, and next week I will not eat my fruit before the show.
No, guaranteed. Don't change your routine for us, Rick. You got to get that vitamin C. We'll let you go.
No, but it creates the frog in the throat.
All right, go eat some apples, some pears, whatever else you got lined up here.
Some dry ice since you've got fog in the throat.
All right. Always a blast, guys. Enjoy game one tonight.
Let's go to bed.
We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
guys.
That is Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal from Donnie and Dhali, Monday to Friday on Check TV, 10 to noon. They join us every Wednesday here on The Crossover. I almost lost it when he said the second banana, the 2 bananas.
Who was breathing like that?
I have no idea.
It truly wasn't me. I don't breathe heavily into the mic normally, and I was not changing a thing.
But Henderson was texting me like, you guys are breathing loud. Stop breathing loud.
I mean, I guess it could have been me, but it wasn't us.
Isn't it? It's got to be Rick, no? Like, we're just choosing most likely people.
I think Rick just had the banana sweats. That happens to people, right?
And then Donnie's like, somebody's real excited about this conversation. It's like...
The crossroads. We should call it the crossroads because we always stick on the track.
Yes.
We never end up well off the beaten path as intended.
I had to look up. I didn't know her name, but do you remember there's like a famous old singer from, I think, like the 60s who wore like a fruit hat?
Yeah, okay.
Carmen Miranda. You can picture it, right?
With
the bananas on the hat. That's what I was thinking of for Rick. That's Rick should consider going as that for Halloween, given his love of fruit.
I love it.
Anyways, we'll take a quick break here in a second. We'll hear from Rick Tocchet on a Canucks game day in the next segment. Introducing Seeker, Canada's new free app for your ears. Dive into live radio, captivating podcasts, the latest news and sports updates all in one place. Whether you're rediscovering music, debating last night's game, or laughing along with your favorite DJ, Seeker has you covered. Plus, there are some of the best prizes in the country up for grabs. It's all here in one easy-to-use app. Download Seeker for free from the App Store or Google Play. Seeker, seek your sounds. Find the radio, podcast, news, and sports you love. A little Carmen Miranda for us. Yeah, there you go. I can see Rick enjoying this while he's eating like 5 or 6 bananas in one sitting. All right, we're back after this here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz here. Game 1 of 82 for the Canucks on tap tonight at Rogers Arena against the Calgary Flames. Canucks Talk, of course, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. We're live from the Kintech Studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at DunbarLumber.com. Producer Dom, bring in the noise, as he instructed us to, with some rejoinder music, which I am informed this is house music.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Yes, correct. Now I know that this qualifies as house music. So thank you for that, Dom. Thank you for broadening my horizons there. All right. As mentioned, Canucks play the Flames tonight at Rogers Arena. They had an optional game day skate earlier today at Rogers. We'll do the whiteboard in the final segment of the show, so we'll have your lineup notes and everything then. But first, right now, let's hear from Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet in just a minute. Not right now. In just a minute, we will hear from Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet. Of course, Jason Bukla is going to join us at 1 o'clock as well. We'll get his thoughts on the start of the Canucks season. Do just want to mention a little preview of the whiteboard content that Mark Friedman cleared waivers yesterday for the Canucks. So he remains, or cleared waivers today, I should say. They put him on waivers yesterday, did not get claimed. So he remains in the Canucks organization, and he will go down to Abbotsford, available on recall now for them, for the Vancouver Canucks as they go into the season with a fair amount of depth, both up front and now with Noah Juulsen and Mark Friedman on the blue line as well. All right, without further ragging of the puck by me, let's go to Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, I think opening night's always great for everybody. So I think, from experience, you try to temper it down a little bit because sometimes people get too excited and overzealous. But I do like the jump the last couple of days and the temperament to guys. You know, guys are itching to go, so that's kind of fun.
Set on the weekend, Artie?
Artie's playing tonight. Yes. Yeah.
On opening night, I mean, is it different when you're a team like you were last year, hadn't been to the playoffs for a bit, you know, dying to get in, as opposed to now, you've got different expectations, longer term views. Is it tough to get as motivated for opening night?
I don't think so. I think every year, everybody has the same, mentality. I mean, last year, guys, they wanted to have a great start. It's the same thing, this year. It's the same thing, and I think if you just go by game by game, I know it's a it's a cliche, but if you just have that attitude, I think it's just better. And I think tonight, yeah, it's opening night, but it's Calgary, and we just got to worry about, you know, tonight's game and worry about tomorrow. I think that's the best way to approach these games.
How much of just last year owning the day, Rick, whether it was practice, a game, or whatever, how much do you think that played into last year, what you guys were able to accomplish by not looking too far ahead, and how can that help you again if you take the same mantra?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff going into, like, even whether it's tonight or this season. I mean, there's competition for jobs. I mean, people want, you know, they want more, right? More ice time, more responsibility, and that's a good thing for our team. But you also got to fit into puzzles too. Like, you know, I'm a puzzle guy, so make sure whatever you bring to the team, you know, whatever it is, that you do that to your best ability. And I think, you know, it's a tight group, but it's also a group that knows that there's competition, there's higher expectations. So that's a good thing.
The player you got to know in JT when you came here, he hits the 800 game mark tonight. What have you come to appreciate about him, not only as a player, but as kind of that guy who drives the team and the voice of reason in the room, just everything?
Well, he's always trying to get better every day, you know, physically and mentally, you know, how his approach to the game, you know, how can he be better and, you know, off the ice and on the ice when it comes to the game. I think I have a lot of respect for him. You know, he's changed as a person, as a young kid, and he'll, you know, as a 23, 24, until now. Like, he's here at the rink early, he's watching video, he's, you know, he comes into camp great shape. You know, he wants the power play to be good. He wants to, you know, he wants to work on his own defensive part of his game. He'll go grab a coach to watch video. So I think he's one of those guys that really wants to apply himself, and you know, he knows this is whatever you call it, whatever window it is, that he, you know, this is a big year, and he really wants to be prepared for it.
When you talk about systems, you wanted to make some changes in terms of being a little bit more aggressive and how you want to play in transition. So yeah, with those specifics in mind, is there something you want to see tonight to see how far along you are in those areas?
Yeah, I want to see what we worked on in training camp and in practice, and then watched a ton of video on it. I want them to do it tonight. Don't be afraid to do it. I mean, you know, you got to be calculated. I mean, we can't, like I said to you guys, we are who we are, but I think there's more there, and I'd like to see it. And it's not going to happen just all of a sudden. We're going to turn it on and off tonight. It's going to be a process here. But I do want guys to step out a little bit and find those things that we talked about. You know, don't worry about having the safety net underneath you. Like, it's okay to let it hang out, but like I said, you know, we got to find that sweet spot.
What's it take to hit 800 games a week?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard. A lot of things got to go your way. You got to be, like, you know, sometimes injuries, you're unlucky. You know, you can be in the greatest shape, but something bad happens on the ice. So you got to be a little bit lucky, but also the testament of your strength of your, you know, the physical part. And then the mental part. It's hard to play a lot of NHL games. You know, it's a lot of back-to-backs. It's traveling. It's this. There's a lot of ups and downs. So it's hard. It's a great milestone for JT.
Rick, at the end of last year, there's a lot made about how great the atmosphere was. What are you expecting from the fans for the whole weekend?
Yeah, I think they're expecting more. You know, I'm not sure at the start of the year what they were expecting. I think they wanted to see a team that worked hard, and I thought they saw that, and they saw you know, they started to believe in the team as the season went on. Now they're going to expect more. As a player, you always expect more from yourself. You know, you just got to be careful that, you know, you just don't get, you know, sometimes guys get nervous, you know, when there's a lot of pressure on you. And I think we did a good job last year. And even this year, we've talked about that, you know, blocking out that sort of stuff and just, you know, worry about the game.
Rick, will you play the way you practiced yesterday? Like, is Ratu the odd man out tonight, or Ratty get in there?
There's a good chance Rats will play tonight. We still haven't decided at this minute, but he's got a good shot at being tonight.
How important is it? You've been a carry young player like Ratu, and you've talked about things. How important is it that they actually play, or is that not necessarily a priority? You just want them around the court?
Yeah, I think as a philosophy of the team, I don't think having a young guy sit around is a good thing. But my philosophy, early in the season, you know, you want to get them in, but it's okay if they don't play a game here or there, and they're with the big team because they can practice. And then later, if, you know, for whatever reason, I don't say it doesn't work out, but we feel it's better to go down. I'd rather do that personally. I'd like to have them with me for at least a couple of weeks and see how it works, whether it's in a game or practice. Baines, for instance, I think him being, you know, the last week practicing with us and stuff like that. And he, I, you know, I'm not sure. I haven't talked to Patrick yet with the paper and all that stuff, the paper, you know, the waivers and all that stuff. He's a possibility of getting called back up and then practicing with us. I believe in that instead of going and playing a couple of games in Averts right now. But that those philosophies can change in a week or two.
What about you?
Well, it could probably suits. You know, he's not 100%. He could play, but you know, it'd probably be, he'd be the odd man on it if we go that approach.
What about the message it sends to guy, young guys in the organization, Rick, about not only getting them here, but rewarding them on effort and getting them into the lineup? I mean, guys are very wary of what's happening with the parent club. What do you think that means when you show that kind of faith, in whether it's round two or Baines or whatever?
Yeah, you always want to get youth in the lineup, but you don't just give youth just because you want youth in. They have to deserve it, and I think it's, you know, you're looking for some qualities in those guys, and Rats has that, and Baines has the stuff that we're looking for. So I think it's a good thing, and it pushes competition, but it's also, when you get youth in there, it just, you know, you can't have six or seven really good guys in the money, then you know, in 2 years you're gonna have about eight guys on waivers, like, you know, so you have to have that underneath develop guys that when they're ready, you got, they got to push jobs, you know, they, that's just the reality of the a good franchise.
What do you make of what you have on the back end at 5, 6, and 7? You talked about forward, you talked about Desharnais wanted to get some work done, and of course you've got Johnson as well. What do you make of what you have there?
Well, I like the fact that you know, even Forsey, you know, he knows who he is, but you know, just in preseason, just his positioning, getting in front of people. He's a good, really good penalty killer. He block shot. He's tough to play against, you know. And then, we're going to work on Vinny a lot this year. I think I think his game's going to go even higher under Footy, and Gonch is going to, when he's in town, has been working on him a ton. I think he's a guy that can really take his game another level. So yeah, they're just tough guys. To, you know, we want to be a hard guys team to play against in our back end.
In another year, maybe Friedman sticks after the kind of camp and preseason he has, but the reality of the cap and everything. What do you make of what he did accomplish when he was here?
Yeah, Fries deserves to be. You know, he's, you know, unfortunately because of the numbers, but you know, he could be easily called up too if we work it out. I like carrying eight defense, but right now, I don't know how we're gonna work it out in the next week or two. But he's had a really good camp. Like, you know, you get a rash of injuries, you know, Freese can go in there and give us good minutes. I mean, you know, I don't know if a lot of teams have that depth that, you know, that we've got. And we got these young guys are pushing too, you know, Carrill there and Pedersen and, you know, getting Branston. Like, I mean, these guys are pushing jobs too. No, he's the same. Yeah, he's more when he comes into town. You know, he'll be 2 weeks at a time. So, for instance, he worked with a lot of with Vinny. So Footy will let Footy do some other stuff. So he had took Vinny on the side for, or with him for about a good 5 days, and so he, and then he'll be in contact with him through, you know, online stuff, and he'll send him stuff, and they'll communicate that way.
Yeah. But we maybe didn't see sort of the team that we saw throughout the year for 5 or 6 games, really, in terms of the style that they played. Do you have to be careful as a head coach not to overreact to your first impression?
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part. Trust me, I'm, you know, I watched all 3 games yesterday. You know, you're excited to watch hockey, but you just got to be careful because, you know, whether you win or lose or how you win or lose, you know, sometimes it's magnified because it's opening night. So, you have to temper that excitement, and even after a game, you just got to temper whatever happens. You know, your opinion of the team.
With Quinn being, you know, quieter, JT obviously being JT, yeah. How has their leadership dynamic evolved, I think, since you've been here?
You know, those guys are. I think Quinn. You know, he can. It's hard to explain how he just, when he's on the road, he just goes to dinner with anybody. He could go grab 5 guys, or he might order room service up. Where Mills is more of a guy that he likes to go out and bring a lot of guys. So that part is great because you have 2 different personalities. But I've liked Quinn because he's had to make some decisions for as a captain, and I saw that last year, and I've seen it a little bit this year too. So he's grown as a captain. So, but it's good. I think he uses Millsy as his guy that if he needs the emotional part, he can go to Millsy.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet speaking to the media before game one at Rogers Arena. Just wrapping up there, talking about the leadership duo, part of the leadership group, and Captain Quinn Hughes, and then, of course, JT Miller as well. So, again, we'll touch on it more in the whiteboard in the final segment, but you heard there, good chance that Atu Ratu gets into the lineup tonight. Pius Suter possibly coming out after Ratu was the 13th forward at practice yesterday, but might get a chance to start the season in the lineup.
Yeah, and I think that's fun. Like, I think that's interesting, mm-hmm. right? That adds some amount of intrigue to tonight's opener, for me anyway, right? I mean,
sure,
Atu Ratu's a fresh face, impressed me right out of the gate at, you know, honestly, I think Penticton in particular. But even before that, he was a guy that I was sort of tracking, a guy who had the profile of a player that can come in surprise, mm-hmm. right? 21-year-old, hot conclusion to his American League season, his second North American pro season. You know, he played for four different teams. Now, granted, like two AHL teams, two NHL teams in that first North American pro season. That's a lot of disruption.
Yeah.
At the time, a 19-year-old player, right? Comes into the season at 19, bouncing around between the American League and the NHL, gets traded at midseason, bouncing around. And then didn't exactly start off last season like gangbusters for Abbotsford, but found his legs, was dominant, right? It wasn't just that he like ended strong. He was killing it in the last 2-3 months of the season. That was always a profile I was interested in. And now to like move back to center, you know, have cleaned up in the circle throughout the preseason. Most likely we're going to see him get that look with Hoglander and Garland if Suter's out of the lineup for the home opener that he played with throughout the preseason, throughout training camp. Look, he had some moments in preseason that concern you a little bit, right,
yep.
from a defensive coverage perspective. But he also had some moments where he looked absolutely ready. And that's life for a young player, right? It's going to be fascinating to see what he can do with this opportunity tonight. And obviously a big one for him.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, a big opportunity for him. And the improved skating I throw in there as well, right? That once you saw that, because that was always a lingering question with Atu Ratu. Once you started to hear the positive reports and see it in action, the NHL this year became a lot more plausible.
Sure, yeah. And you know, it's just like blunting an edge that was potentially going to hold you
exactly.
back. You know, it's still not a strength, right? But it's something that's certainly better than it was, and I think might give him, the real test then, too, because this club's so intent on trying him at center, right, is if the skating is good enough for him to crack the NHL now, which it seems to be, like, that's a positive development for him, but there's still another level where it's like, because this is the sort of player that can excel on the wing. He's big enough, he's smart enough, he's, you know, skilled enough
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there's still, like, that level that we'll have to sort of see play out here where it's, the skating's improved enough that he can play. Is the skating at the level where he can be an impact center?
Where that's
center?
His best position.
Or at some point, do we see him shift back to the wing? Something the club, by the way, is going to be deeply reluctant to do. They want centers as much as possible.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Everyone wants more centers. All right, it is game day here on Canucks Talk. Jason Bukla, our pal from Sportsnet, former NHL scout, he's going to join us next. And in the next segment, we will ask our trivia question for a pair of tickets to tonight's Canucks Flames game at Rogers Arena. So some point in the next segment, we'll ask you a trivia question, give you the chance to text in and potentially win those tickets to the regular season opener tonight between the Canucks and the Calgary Flames. Stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for Jason Bukla next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd. It's Thomas Drantz. Canucks Talk, of course, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. We are live from the Kintech studio. Kintech Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line.
Thomas, is that a bowl of fruit on your head?
It is, dumb. Indeed. You know what? This sounds like, do you know that Beck song, Reptilia?
I don't.
Okay, well, it's got this,
I know,
like,
a Stroke song, Reptilia.
Yeah, they copied Beck.
Did they? Really?
No, I don't know. I mean,
but is, what, isn't that weird? Two songs named Reptilia?
Not really.
That's a little weird.
That's not that weird, man.
Just don't, not a word you hear a lot.
Reptilia. You're right.
Yeah.
What does it even mean?
Presumably have something to do with reptiles. That's just a wild guess that I have there. Anyways, let's get back to hockey here and welcome in our next guest.
The class comprising the reptiles.
There you go.
It's a, like a genus.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah. With two songs named after it, apparently. Anyways, our next guest, who joins us every Wednesday here at 1 o'clock.
Learn something new every show.
He is part of Sportsnet's NHL coverage and a former NHL scout. He is Jason Bukla. Books, you couldn't tell our conversation, but hockey's here.
Why are you underselling our guy? He's a former director of amateur scouting. Come on.
All right. My bad. Sorry, Books. Sorry.
No, it's good. I'm not
head scout.
I'm not taking anything personally at all. It's all good. It's all good. Hear you guys talking about reptiles and all kinds of weird stuff. Yep. While I'm waiting on hold.
Yep. Here,
Lena's just pulling her hair out as we speak right now.
Uh-huh. What are these idiots doing? Yeah, I know. That's how she normally is back there. Okay, as I said, hockey is here. NHL, the North American segment of the regular season, kicked off yesterday. So we'll get to the Canucks. But I mean, what stood out to you from last night's triple header?
Well, Utah, what a fantastic environment and
yep.
the enthusiasm, and good for the league, really good for the players. I'm sure it's the trickle-down effect, too. Like, you think people – I don't think we recognize how important it is. I'm not just like, – the young guys are one thing, you know, like, they're still young. They have girlfriends, maybe wives. But, you know, some of the veteran players, you know, you have to get settled into a new community and schools for your kids, all kinds of different things. It's just – the enthusiasm and the structure, and just seeing an owner out front of it last night for that organization that clearly is enthusiastic, willing to put money where his mouth is, if you will. I thought that was a home run, like right from the beginning to the end. I thought they did a fantastic job, and they're going to bank some wins early based on just being a happier group. I think they're a group on the uptick anyways, but I think that really stood out for me for sure. That was the highlight. I struggled with the so on the East Coast here. I struggled with, and probably you guys struggled with it there. The Seattle game starting when it did.
Yes.
I mean, I guess I get it, but that was a struggle for me. It was what it was, and then of course, really happy to see some very happy faces as the banner went up in Florida. As I'm sure well Drancer knows, you know, we we're very familiar with a lot of people there. You know, you look at I specifically look at the training staff. And I know, you know, going back and forth with some people behind the scenes, the Brian McCabe's and the Braden Birches and guys like that, like, really happy for that organization. So not so happy that I'm not walking around with one of those gargantuan rocks on my finger. But at the same time, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. So it's all good.
Books, you know, I was watching that Seattle game at the weird hour right after we were done our show. And I was just thinking about, honestly, I was thinking about how much better Vegas did in their expansion draft than the Kraken. And it just sort of got me thinking about how Vegas did it, right? It got me thinking about this idea that, like, there's an inefficiency from a player evaluation standpoint in the NHL where you've got guys who've been around. They're not old. They're not young. They're in their late 20s. They're now like businessmen style hockey players, right? They've been non-tendered. They've had to battle. They've missed teams on the final day of training camp cuts. And they're like good players, but maybe they haven't had a shot to do like star player stuff at any point in their career. And, you know, when those guys got the opportunity, right, when they finally were able to be the big minutes guy, like, they were ready for it, right? It wasn't just that they were tasked with it. It was like a professional challenge they prepared for and they were ready for. And it kind of got me thinking, like, in some ways, that's kind of what the Canucks have done in free agency here, right? Like, they've brought in Kiefer Sherwood and Jake DeBrusk and Danton Heinen and Daniel Sprung, like guys who've had some opportunity here and there, but haven't necessarily been like signature guys. Like Jake DeBrusk hasn't been a power play one guy. Well, he will be tonight, right? Danton Heinen's had to bounce around. Well, he's going to be a top liner tonight playing a game in his hometown. Like these are new opportunities for experienced players. Are guys with that profile just more ready to sort of outperform or take steps in their career, in your view?
Yeah, that's a curious... So let me circle back a little bit to the beginning of how you kind of frame that. Like when I watched Seattle play, you know, that's the when you watch, think back to what Vancouver was 2 years ago and think of what they are today. And then you look at Seattle and like, we could talk, you know, forever about, you know, how Vegas went about the expansion draft and how Seattle did. And I just feel like Seattle's chasing. I don't know what Seattle's chasing. Like they seem like they're like a melting pot for me right now. I'm not so sure what it is, but I even look at their roster and I'm not so sure what it means to be a Seattle Kraken. Like I don't know when I go through that roster and I watched that game yesterday and, you know, they were good until they weren't. And when the wheels fell off, it fell off and it was still a close game or whatever, but I'm not long for the Seattle Kraken out of the chute here. Like there's something, I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel. I feel like there's something missing there. I don't know what it is yet. Time will tell. And then they go out and sign Decor to a contract. But fast forward to the Canucks, because I don't want to harp on wherever Seattle goes. But fast forward to the Canucks, you know, the thing about it is that the Canucks were able to internally elevate some of their players who were falling off a little bit. They elevated to become the best version of themselves or a better version of themselves. So Brock Besser, you know, obviously went through some personal trials and tribulations a few years ago. We get it, you know, but even before that, you could say that his play, like his style of play, wasn't really fitting where the Canucks were at that time. But now when you look at the roster, like if he plays, is he playing with Miller and Heinen tonight? Is that what it's rolling out? Okay, so if he's playing with Miller and Heinen tonight, so you got, you know, a nice mix of grit and burn there, don't you? And it really complements Brock. And all of a sudden, you know, he's a 40-goal guy. He could, you know, and he's on the record saying that, you know, I really feel like I could have got 50. So when you bring in guys then too, like Daniel Sprong, people might not know, but in his draft cycle, this was a highly regarded talent. Like he was like the, you know, like we talk about Aturatu, you know, how these guys had draftitis a little bit or they fell off and then they had to prove themselves. Daniel Sprong is one of those guys. He's been having to prove himself ever since he came to the league, for example. This is a goal scorer and he can make people around him or people around him can feed into the way that Miller and Heinen can feed into Besser. Pettersson and DeBrusk can also make Sprong better. I think Pettersson will make DeBrusk better and vice versa, like right across the board there. This is a long answer, but what I'm trying to tell you guys is that there's a culture, there's an expectation, and when you arrive on the scene as a newbie, a free agent, no matter how old you are, but certainly when you're in the middle of your career and tracking towards the back end of your 20s, early 30s, your buy-in and your energy will go to a different level, I believe, just because of the environment and the opportunity that you see in front of you.
Yeah, and with Daniel Sprong, I mean, we've already heard from Rick Tocchet repeatedly, you know, over the last month or so here, a few weeks, that obviously it's going to be a work in progress with Sprong, right? He's aware of the defensive warts, and, you know, he's said, hey, Sprong's doing all the right things. He's asking for that help from the coaches. He's working hard. And, you know, even just today, also, Rick Tocchet mentioned that with Vincent Desharnais on the blue line, that's somebody they're going to have to work a lot with, right? So it's very interesting to me that a team with aspirations as high as the Canucks have, right, coming off a second round appearance last year, wanting to be cup contenders this year, you've also got a couple of players that the coaching staff are treating very much like projects throughout the year, right, in Sprong and Desharnais. How difficult is it to kind of balance those two things, right? We're a really good team that's expecting to, you know, have really good results and be a legitimate playoff contender, but we're also trying to develop on the fly throughout the course of the season a couple of, you know, veteran players like Daniel Sprong and Vincent Desharnais.
Yeah, interesting. Let's not forget that the management group has a history with Sprong, right? Going back to the Pittsburgh days.
Yep.
So it's not like they must have seen something back then and they must see now a different level of maturity because words are one thing, actions are another, and you can't run and hide in Vancouver. You know, like the team was so successful last year, towing the rope in the same direction, that when you're an outlier going in the wrong direction, well, that's just not going to work. And there's nowhere to hide that way. The beauty of it, though, guys, even when you look at the goaltending, like, you know, I'm not worried about how they present in goal tonight. Where 2 years ago, with the structure of the team, and, you know, where I'm not so sure about a lot of things. Let's just be honest. Like, we could sit here and talk about where they were 2 years ago. There's just like a lot of noise, right? Right now, because I feel like there's the structure, the pull in the same direction, that you can work projects into your roster and hope that their ceiling will maximize, because you've got protection and expectation. So, you know, Sprong's going to be the best version of himself being pushed by those two line mates. Like, he doesn't want to fall out of that position, clearly. And this is another lease on life. And if he goes off this year, say he's 30 goals, let's just say, for something, you know, which actually is possible. Trust me, this guy can rip a puck. You know, if he can be average defensively and go off offensively, he's going to cash out, right? This costs money for him. So he's motivated for the team. They know what they've got. They're going to be patient with it. Heinen's different, because you're going to be really trustworthy on him, I believe. I like Danton Heinen. I think he's a glue guy. I think he's a guy that that you can fit into a variety of roles, and he's going to play north-south game very fast and be very competitive. So, but they also got guys waiting in the wings now, don't they? Right? Like, I thought Max Sasson, by the way, was fantastic. I think I mentioned to you guys last week, I thought he had a fantastic training camp.
Yeah, he was.
You know, good. You look at the, you know, DiGiuseppe, he's right there. He's waiting. The Karamaki, you know, Ratu, obviously. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, Juleson was the best version of himself last year when he played. So there's a lot of guys maximizing their ability.
Books, I'm not a goalie guy. I don't know anything about the position. But I'm curious to get your take on this, because there's a lot of excitement and faith in the Vancouver market about what Arturas Shelovs can do in the event that Demko's absence becomes protracted here. And there should be. I mean, this is a guy who's had success in big games on the international stage and obviously performed pretty well in the playoffs. But we're also talking about a guy who's played 89 American League games, and we're looking at a .906 save percentage. He's played 18 NHL games between the regular season and the playoffs. 19, excuse me, and we're looking at an .898 save percentage. Performance in the OHL, save percentage was pretty pedestrian. You know, I get it. Like, he's young, he's athletic, he's positionally advanced, and he's shown up in big games. I understand that, but also, like, at some point, shouldn't all of those things translate to being, like, consistently good at stopping the puck? Where are you at? How do you view those sorts of issues or questions when they pertain to a promising young goaltender?
So, you know how we talk about some skaters having a B game, you know, like the yeah. game that you have to fall back on?
For
with
sure.
goaltenders, you know, you're at the NHL level, like, he's not a small guy. Like, he's got good size, right?
Yep.
When he first came into the North American style, like, dating back to his junior days, he would get outside the post a little bit or too active, and then you lose your size. Like, you get small in a hurry when you got to travel further distance to make saves. So, you know, that makes sense. You got to play, you know, stay in the paint a little bit longer. The thing with goaltenders, similar to forwards with a B game, when I say a forward or a defenseman, you know, you gotta skate, compete, and think. Well, a goaltender is no different. You got to be able to adjust and think. But on top of everything else, even above your ability, you have to have the mental fortitude. Like, you have got to be, hopefully, at least average by NHL standards on your worst day. I mean, the guys that fall off and slump, those are the guys that are up and down like a yo-yo in the minors. And, you know, they're okay for like 4 or 5 here, but then they fall off the face of the earth. Like, mm-hmm. This kid here, like, I think his mental makeup is strong. I believe in his mental makeup. He's got the athletic ability. He's more in tune with how to play the game. But you're absolutely right. All the Vancouver Canucks need out of him is timely saves, obviously. Every NHL, this is the NHL. But, you know, save percentage has got to land closer to .910. And, you know, the goals against average has got to be, call it .265 and below, to really be in the contending team type of conversation, depending how long Demko is out. So is that a challenge? Is that sitting in front of him? Absolutely it is. Does he have a good team in front of him? You better believe he does. But it's going to be a challenge. I do believe, though, the athletic ability and the structure of his game is as good as it's been. And he's got the fortitude, guys. Like, he's a dog on a bone. He wants to compete to stop pucks. So I believe that on his worst day, he'll bounce back the next time out with a better version of himself. I trust him a lot more today than I did a year ago.
On Atu Ratu, Books, it looks like he's got a chance to get into the game tonight. Rick Tocchet said earlier today, but, you know, yesterday at practice, he was the extra forward, so it's not as if he's a lock night in, night out to be in the lineup. And it's always such a balancing act with a young player, right? Because you want to make sure they're getting regular playing time to keep developing, but, you know, you also don't want to just gift them minutes at the NHL level. How long at the beginning of a season with a player like Ratu do you wait to kind of say, okay, maybe he needs to go back to the AHL, or maybe it's worth it keeping him here even if he's not playing every night? What goes into that decision? Kind of how long before you really have to make a tough decision like that as an organization?
I'd be making it today, and I'd be playing him. I think it sends a motivational message to the entire group. You know, the Karamakis of the world and some of the other ones that are on the horizon. You know, I believe that the player, he had a heck of a year in the American League last year. He's done everything that was asked of him in training camp. He's extending plays. He's got some bump and grind to him. He's doing the things that this coach really likes. I personally have a bias, I guess, at this point, coming out of camp. Like, I like him better than Amon, okay? So that's just me here, like, spitballing to you guys. Mm-hmm. I like him better. If the choice is to go in the bottom, Amon, I would imagine, what, Bluger and Sherwood? I mean, yep. You know, I didn't see the skate today, but if that's the choice, so be it. But he better get right back in it to keep the momentum on his side. But having said that, this is going to be part of the task at hand for him. He's not going to play every game, and you're going to have to keep yourself ready, and that's the next challenge. The next challenge is you've made the team, you've given us reason to believe, but we're not going to play every night. But when I do call your number, you better give me reason to keep you in and know that you can do your job. So it is still a process, but for me personally, I believe that he should be rewarded for his preparation. That's how I feel.
Books, what are your expectations? Like, we were playing over-unders in our first segment with the Donnie and Dolly show. 99.5 for the Canucks. You taking them over or under?
Over. Taking them over. Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight with Edmonton. I think I've got Edmonton winning the Pacific, but I think the Vancouver is going to be right there in the mix. And this is a hell of a team. I think they're in contender status. I really do believe that. I think they're on the verge of going to another level of their game. You know, they've got a juggernaut out there now in their division, obviously. But the Edmonton Oilers have holes too, guys. Like, that defense is, you know, just okay by my estimation. And, you know, the goaltending on balance, there's an argument to be made that, especially when Demko's healthy, that Vancouver's goaltending is better. So I know that's kind of an indirect answer to your question, but I think they're over that. And, and you know, I think they're right in that mix of the contend. Not only contend, they've done a masterful job with cap management right now. Like, right now, they got dollars to spend at the deadline, and they've got assets to use that are attractive for other teams if they really wanted to acquire players down the road.
At the other end of a lot of projections going into the season are tonight's opponents for the Canucks, the Calgary Flames. Obviously, a transitional period going into a rebuild for Calgary. But, I mean, what are you expecting? Could this turn into a pretty ugly season for the Flames, Books?
Yeah, this is not going to be great for them. They're going to be, you know, this is a rebuild. You know, I know that the ownership group there doesn't like the word, but it is. I mean, you know, they're relatively thin. They've got some of those project guys up front, you know, like Kuzmenko. He played well when he got there, you know, but you guys have seen that. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, Anthony Mantha, never been the sum of his parts for me. I love Ryan Lomberg, bringing him in. You know, he's a little pit bull and whatever. But again, you know, they've got some good news stories, some young guys like Samuel Honzek out of the Vancouver Giants. I love this kid in his draft year. Big smile when he came into the interview room with Sammy Kaz and I, and just a real good quality human being. And people were down on him early, similar to how Lekaramaki, we were all talking about him a couple of years. You know, Lekaramaki wasn't good 2 years ago, you know, yep, after his draft. And yet Honzek had some injuries and some setbacks. But beyond that, like the goaltending is going to be challenged for sure. And I would imagine they're going to look to, you know, make more moves as the season goes along. I don't want to read too much into preseason stuff, but, you know, Rasmus Anderson's obviously going to be a guy, kind of like Tanev last year or whatever. I think he's going to be a guy that a lot of talk is going to be circling around him maybe, and we'll see where all this goes. But this is a must-win, or not a must-win. It's the first game of the year, but you want to set the tone for your season, and Calgary, they'll be the best version of themselves tonight, but it's going to be a long year in Cowtown.
I was going to say must-win season came early for the Canucks this year.
Yeah,
game one.
You want to set the tone.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially against a team that you think you should be a lot better than, right? You don't want to fall flat out of the gate. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Books, is the Calder Trophy picture this year. And, of course, Macklin Celebrini in San Jose, a lot of eyes on him. But another name that I haven't heard maybe quite as much hype about as I would have expected, of course, is Matvei Michkov. He's going to be in town on Friday with the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, what are you expecting from him and this Calder Trophy race in general?
Philly's going to bring to town two really good rookies. I hope that Jet Luchenko gets in the lineup for them as well, the Guelph Storm product. But on Michkov, you know, he had a heck of a preseason, fellas. I think he had 7 points in 4 games. And you know, their power play has been nothing short of horrendous the last 3 years. So he's going to definitely improve their power play, working off the flank. He's built like a fire hydrant. He's got like a Nils Holander kind of a body. He's not as quick as Nils, but he's more skilled. So he's got a great stick, fantastic catch and release, and good leverage in traffic areas. He's a dynamic offensive player for sure. He's going to in short order become Philly's most dynamic offensive threat. It's going to be fun to watch him. He's got some warts defensively, and I know for a fact that Vancouver will roll out those top six bodies up front against his line when he rolls over the boards for Philly, and it'll be a challenge off the puck for him because he's got some stop and go off the puck, and he's going to have to adjust. And the fascinating thing there is that on his really bad days, because he will have some, he's a rookie, right? But the press conferences with the coach will be fascinating on those days when he's gone off the rails for a day or two.
Books, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. Thank you for doing this. We'll chat next week. Enjoy the Canucks game tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's not a must win, fellas. But let's get off to a good start, okay? Let's set the tone.
Bulletin board material for the Canucks. Jason Bukla goes on the radio, calls it a must win game.
Well, honestly.
Yeah. Who said that? Who's that guy?
Honestly, I think it's one of those weird ones, Books, where it's like, because, well, I have a pretty low opinion of this Calgary roster, so I think it's not so much a must win as it is a must not lose.
Yeah. That's a better way to put it, because then you'll be talking about C-Lobs and everything
right.
else, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's all right, boys. Enjoy the game. I'll look forward to talking to you guys later. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, buddy.
That is Jason Bukla, part of Sportsnet's NHL coverage and a former, what was it, director of amateur scouting?
Director of amateur scouting.
Director of amateur scouting in the NHL. Don't want to undersell our guy Books. All right, don't play us off unless this is the trivia question music. I got to do some administrative
trivia over the music.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not allowed to tell him to stop. If you're getting played off, you're getting played off. You react.
Well, I'm allowed to tell him to stop.
No, he doesn't have to comply.
Yeah, no. But I'm allowed to tell him to stop.
Wasting time right now.
You just go. Sorry, I'm going to keep talking. And then
no,
you keep
I refuse. I'm ordering you. Turn off the music.
They really like me.
Yeah, exactly. Sally Field it up.
All right, we got a pair of tickets to tonight's game at Rogers Arena. So only enter if you are able to use these tickets, all right? We've had this problem before. Do not send a text in unless you want the tickets and can go to the game. Tonight, home opener, Canucks against the Calgary Flames.
Why do you guys never run the trivia question by me?
I don't know. Do you want me to?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to.
You don't overcomplicate it.
I will say, Cam Barra walked in and he was like, how are you going to give the tickets away? I was like, I don't know. I'll probably ask a trivia question. And he suggested a trivia question, and it was literally the one I had already written in the rundown without talking to him. So
wow,
apparently this
is
like the default trivia question
so
that comes to mind.
Everyone's in on it but me.
Exactly. Yeah. Hooray. I ran it past Barra, of course. Didn't run it past
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic.
All right. So it's not first text or anything like that.
Tom wouldn't enjoy helping to shape a trivia question.
Just text in 650-650 with the correct answer. Lena, our producer, will randomly choose a winner and message you back. Here is the trivia question. Of course, it's the first game of the regular season tonight. Who scored the Canucks' first goal of the regular season last year? You might remember a big 8-1 win. Who got the Canucks' first goal of the regular season
last year. Text in now, 650-650, to the Dunbar Lumber text line for your chance to win a pair of tickets to tonight's game.
Not very creative.
Apparently not, since Barrett and I both have. It was the first thing that popped into both of our heads.
Feel like all the more reason to check in with me.
All right, there's the trivia question. Text it now, 650-650. We'll announce the winner on the other side here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.